Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, this is the 12th episode of the DesignFootball.com podcast. My name is Jay, I'm the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. Today I will be talking to John Devlin, who is an author, graphic designer, and someone who renders football kits very, very well. Always relevant, John Devlin. Hi John, how are you?
Hello Jay, I'm not bad, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay, not too bad.
Good.
Okay, we're talking about the New England kit. We have to talk about the New England kit. What are your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts. I always make this problem of actually saying what my initial thoughts are. And I think with any kit as potentially groundbreaking as this, you need to kind of digest it a bit and need to let it settle before you can kind of give your initial thoughts. But my initial thoughts after all of that, in terms of the look of the shirt, it's very, very different, but it's very, very fresh. I like it, and I still feel it looks kind of like England. It's not the traditional England that we know and what the fans know, but it has that feel to it, and I think it looks good. But again, I think when we see it in action, that will give us a better idea of how it's shaping up.
Yeah, I do think that we've talked before about at what point should you evaluate what a kit looks like, and being worn on the pitch is a decent starting point, I think. If that's where you're saying, yeah, okay, well, I've seen launch images, I've seen leaks, I maybe even own the shirt, because that's possible as well. Sometimes you can own the shirt before it's actually worn on the pitch, but actually you should be evaluating it when you see the players wearing it.
That's right. I think seeing it in context is really important. And in fact, context is that the whole context of this kit is what's kind of giving me trouble with it, what's giving me turmoil. We'll talk about this, but yeah, it's seeing it in action and how it fits into England football culture and kind of football kit culture worldwide, I think.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about or you haven't seen this kit, certainly, that's probably where you need to be at. So it'll be on footballshirtculture.com. At some point, it'll probably be on the notes on the screen now, so you could probably just click through to that that news story to see the kit if you haven't seen it. But just to quickly describe it, white shirt with sky blue sleeves, white shorts, and red socks. That's sort of the headlines on the kit. Would you agree, John?
Yeah, with obviously kind of royal blue trim on the shirt and shorts.
Yeah, so my initial thought was, and I've actually told people this, so I've got to go and retract that, I actually thought that the sleeves design, it's like a raglan sleeve, so it comes up to the onto the shoulders as well.
Yeah. And onto the neck, really, yeah.
Yeah, my initial thought was this sky blue was caused by very thin royal blue stripes, in the same way as you sometimes have a very tight checkered shirt in red and white, and it will look pink. So I thought that was what they had done here. But actually, when you look at the close-up pictures of the shirt, it is actually sky blue, isn't it? That is right, isn't it?
It is. Well, I think they're calling it, isn't it, not ice? Is it ice blue, I think, is the official colour? Although, funnily enough, if you look at all different images that are online already on it, it's very difficult to get the kind of the blue, the same shade in all the different images. So it's going to be one of those ones that's a difficult colour to pin down. I'm not saying we're going to go down that internet web, you know, sensation, is it a gold dress or is it a white dress? It's not going to be like that, but I think the blue is varying from shot to shot as far as I can see.
Yeah, the other thing with that sort of effect, and I don't know if they've considered it, and I don't know if it really matters anymore, whether it was something that happened with CRT TVs and rather than sort of plasma or whatever the new TV is, LCD or whatever they are. But when you have thin lines together like that, doesn't it cause strobing? So
yeah, it's similar. It's actually like if you I guess it's the same. If you scan something that's been printed properly, you get like a moiré effect where the pattern's so tight and it's so close that it actually kind of distorts, doesn't it?
Mm.
So that could be behind it.
Yeah, I don't. But I don't know whether that's intentional, whether they want that effect, or whether they've not considered that effect, but that is something that's happened. Just something else I want to point out about it. Scotland and England both have raglan sleeves, not something that's associated with either. And they've had them at the same time.
And of course, having contrasting colours on the sleeves as well, which is the big thing. I mean, there's so much to talk about it with this England shirt, and it's really funny why England shirts are always such a massive talking point in the kit world. But I don't know if you've seen though, Jay, I think the response to the shirt has been absolutely appalling. I mean, nobody, very few people are singing its praises. It's potentially a problem for Nike, I think, because it's so universally hated.
I have trouble with the term universally. So I know, I'm very aware that we live in a world where we listen to each other, sort of an echo chamber, where we listen to each other and we go, oh, all right, okay, so these people, so you've said that and Dennis Hurley said that, so that's the common consensus. Is it from kit geeks or is it from people who aren't interested in kits, which is probably more important in terms of sales?
I think it seems to be from the general England fans, and there's a massive backlash now calling for the return of Umbro, and you know, even people calling for the return of Admiral, which is unlikely, to be honest. It's really interesting, and I think that's what's causing me so many problems with this kit, because I look at it again now as we're talking, and really, it's, I don't know, I'm going to stick my neck out. I think it's gorgeous. It looks fantastic. The shirt looks great. The colours look good. The questions come from when you say, well, is it an England shirt?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean for the rest of football kit design at the moment when they've so blatantly disregarded what people want to see on an England shirt? They're not giving the people what they want. And it's that angle is unsettling for me. I don't quite know what's happening there, why they're doing that.
Yeah, I know it's something I wanted to bring up later, but you've sort of jumped ahead, and I like that about you, John. That's good. It's the idea that England haven't been provided a kit from Nike, because we'll talk about the other kits that have come out recently as well, the new Nike ranges. They haven't been provided a kit. They haven't Nike haven't designed them a kit. What's actually happened is England have been allocated a colourway of Nike's new design. I can't see past that. Do you understand what I mean? So it's a bit tail wagging the dog. Do you think?
It's a phrase I use a lot. I mean, again, it's like a whole myriad of emotions. When I first saw the shirt, I thought, oh, it looks great, looks good. Oh, crikey, it doesn't look very England. People aren't going to like it. And then you think, actually, do you know what? There is something about it that sort of, you know, says England. Then you realise that it's essentially a templated design that all of Nike's other international teams will be wearing it. Mm. And then that throws up even more questions. The situation becomes... Maybe we look into these things too much, but it becomes quite unsettling, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. My initial thought when I first saw the kits, and there's some of the marketing terms are just brilliant, but I'll get onto that in a second. But it's actually true. The marketing this time, there's actually some substance to it, which is quite interesting. But we say template, and when we say template, sometimes we mean like a graphical pattern. So in this case, we might mean contrast raglan sleeves. But in terms of template, really, it's the construction of the kits. Now, the construction of the kits, those all do seem identical. And I think the reason why they are identical is because Nike have said tech is all important for this release. Tech is, we're sort of at the optimum level of providing the players with the best possible performance technology they could be wearing.
And if you look, and actually, people who are criticising this shirt for the way it looks, if you read up on it and delve into that further, it is it is quite clear reading between the lines that it is technology that's driving this shirt. I mean, that's been the case with sportswear for years, but more so than ever before, the technology is pushing what they're doing with this particular one.
Yeah. So I spoke to Jason Lee recently, and I brought up base layers. We'll talk about this in a bit more depth later, but his answer to me was that the future is, or somebody, I think he volunteered this information. I don't know if it was, maybe I asked him what the future held, and he said, well, you like base layers, so listen to this. And he said that the base layer will become the only layer. Now, that blew my mind, but I think that's certainly the premise here, that this is now, the shirt is now the base layer. And it's all about this weave thing, Nike are calling it a knit, and some places it's a tight knit, and then other places it's looser, which allows, and it's called vapor or something. I think vapor means the sweat coming out and then flying away.
Well, I think they're called in the whole range of kits, the kind of the vapor kits. They're using this AeroSwift technology, which is a new weave, if you like. So a new synthetic weave that's they've developed. And, of course, seemingly they're very, very proud of it. It has all the extra 10% lighter. You know. But I said the other day, surely shirts must be weighing negative amounts now. They must be, surely. Like defying some sort of black hole or something. I don't know. Because they seem to be getting lighter and lighter. They can't disappear, can they? Or maybe they can. I don't know.
I could just imagine like a manager at Nike whipping the designers and saying, make it lighter. It needs to go negative before the 2020 or something.
It needs to wick sweat 20% faster than the last one wicked sweat, you know. And of course, I don't know about you. I mean, when I've spoken to designers before, they're very passionate about these stats and the fact that it does all this stuff. But to the layman, you can't help thinking, is this a load of cobblers? I mean, really, is that what... Does it make such a difference? I don't know.
The reason why I'm convinced by it a little bit more than usual, and I'll keep this podcast and say in 5 years' time, I want to listen back and just go, what an idiot he was. He actually believed it that time. But because Jason had said all of this stuff, he had talked about it. There is a precedent, which is the Paris Saint-Germain shirt from this season, the third shirt, which I think is them sort of dipping their toe into this, maybe.
And is that the black one?
The black one, yeah. And that's all very structured, much more than all the other Nike shirts this season.
Okay.
It's part of a range, I think, maybe, but it's a little bit more structured than the other ones in that third kit range. And I think maybe that was them testing it out, and then they've gone, okay, yeah, we're gonna go full steam ahead with this new thing. So, like, the sleeves are very tight. That's, like...
Right. Because a lot of the blurb that Nike is saying is that it's not like a base layer that it's skin tight all the way. I think, as you said, it's tight on certain areas. But didn't Umbro do this with their, what was it, 2009-2010 kits? Didn't they look really closely at how the fit of the shirt and they had twisted seams and all sorts of stuff, didn't they? Do you remember that?
Yeah, so the 2009 one had it, and that was the one that we lauded as like one of the greatest football shirts ever. Is it the second best football shirt ever? Was that right? I think
something
it was.
Something like that, I think. Yeah. But then it was the red away, wasn't it? Remember when we went up to Manchester they were looking at how players wore it in action, weren't they? And really moulding the elbows and moulding the sleeves based on that.
Yeah, this does seem... And at the time, I listened to it and went, okay. I didn't really buy it. Because it didn't ring true in the same way. It was like, so all we've, like, one of the things they said was all we've done is use seven pieces of fabric for this. So there's specially shaped bits of fabric, but then there was like two tiny bits of fabric that they had to put in. So it was like interlocked like a football. Say it was like was it 16? I can't remember. There was a type of football, 18 panel football or something, which was like a mitre delta, and it was very cleverly structured, so it made this sphere, and then Adidas have taken that on over the last 20 years for the World Cup balls. But it was very similar to that. But then it was like, oh no, but then we had to put in these tiny little bits of fabric just to sort out this bit. And it was like, did you, or is it just marketing? But this seems to be in that vein.
Sorry, Jay, I'll keep interrupting you tonight.
No, that's fine. What you have to say is far more interesting to people listening. No. So don't worry about that.
I was just going to say that all that marketing stuff about it being lighter, does that count for anything for the bloke that wears it down the pub when Euro 2016 games are on? Do you know what I mean? And of course, that's where... This is what's really, really interesting, is that they're designing it for players, which is true. That's how it should be. They should be designing it to do a job of work on the pitch. But it's actually all the criticisms coming from people that arguably it's not being designed for.
Yeah.
But is it? Do you know what I mean?
I can't dispute any of that. And I did hear that this one dries 30%. If you sweat into it, dries like 30% quicker than the previous one. So I suppose the principle is that if you drop beer on it, that will dry quicker as well. So maybe that's a dual benefit there for wearing it in the pub. But no, I think it's a dangerous approach. We talked about it with boots as well, that it's fine making the perfect boot for Cristiano Ronaldo, but no one's as perfect as him in any way. Mm. So why that boot will then sell is almost pointless, because you're not him. It's not made for your foot. It's made for his foot. Mm. So the football player having this shirt molded to his skin, and Umbro did that with the 2009 one, and it still kind of worked out. I remember asking David Blanche about it and saying, who was one of the main designers on that project, and said, okay, but I haven't got a body like that, and I've seen a lot of England fans and they don't either. So
no.
You're catering for the player, and it's this whole tailored thing. But what's it going to look like on the supporter? And that's your market. But and he got round it. I don't know. This is the idea of it's not tight fit. When you say something's tight fit, that's what scares people. But if you remember that shirt, the 2009 England shirt, it was fantastic. But no one wore it in the right size. Everyone wore it two sizes too big. So then it became a run-of-the-mill polo shirt, which was the accusation at the time. So,
basing it on fit, it's a risky strategy, isn't it? And of course, this is the thing with this shirt, this kit in particular, that it seems to be full of contradictions. Everything about it, you know, the fact that they're basing it on designing it for players, yet really, kit design has been designing for supporters for years. So what's, you know, is it smoke and mirrors? Are they really doing this? What's the agenda here? You know.
These 1% things are important. So the idea that this time they're saying to the players, and they did it with the 2010 England away shirt, the red one, they said to the players, okay, you don't need a base layer anymore, because this is the base layer and the outer shirt. So it's exactly the same thing. It's that is history repeating itself. So they're saying again, it seems, you don't, because none of the marketing shots seem to have a base layer in them.
Just thought of that. Just I'm looking at the one with Rooney here, and he hasn't got one on.
And there was a France kit, I think it's the France away shirt for the 2012 European Championships. If you look at the marketing images on that, every player's wearing a base layer. And I think it was a marketing thing that if you want to buy the shirt, then if you want to buy the authentic version of the shirt, which is like the player's version, then you need to buy the base layer with it. So that was something they were pushing at the time. The irony of that is always this wicking thing and the mesh and all these different things. That's fine if it's in contact with the skin, but if you're wearing a base layer, you've got another layer of fabric in between. So is the technology going to even work? Or is it going to hold the sweat in between the two layers? So does wicking...
Is the whole culture just slowly, slowly disappearing up its own rear end?
I think, maybe. We did that years ago. So can't... That would be hypocritical to beat them with that stick.
But it's just funny looking at it again, and I'm kind of in, as I said to a few people on Facebook, I'm in turmoil over it, because I so like the design, you know, but it's just what it means for football and what it means for football kits. That's what is worrying me. I kind of, you know, there's so many nice details on it, the way the little stripes on the cuffs are great. But of course, then when you see it rolled out across every other team, you think, okay. But is it part of Nike's, you know, technology? It's all about technology. This is just a uniform. It's different colours. get over it. It's that kind of feel, isn't it? You know, have we seen a major supplier roll out so many shirts at one time that are, in construction terms, exactly the same? I don't think we have.
No. The thing that it reminds me of, I think it's the 2009, Adidas Rangers then. And Chelsea had something that looked like a RoboCop suit. You probably won't remember it because it was...
Is that the one like people said it looked like a sports bra at the top?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, you do remember. Great. Why did I doubt you?
Well, I love that shirt. I thought that was a wonderful shirt.
Oh, okay, interesting. I was against it because it came out around the same time. I think that was 2008, actually, because it came out around the same time as the Taylor by England range. And it was like Umbro came along and went, you don't need any of that structure. You make the shirt look nice and you can still include the same technology, the technological benefits that you're getting by making this structured shirt. And Adidas had to sort of toddle off with their tail between their legs and start making more classic kits again. Because they had said, oh, we've got this advancement, but now someone else has come along and told us no.
Yeah, the clash of styles was massive to see then, wasn't it? Mm.
Yeah, the other thing with what you say about this is a controversial shirt and people are up in arms about it, but then they call for the return of Admiral. Now that's contradictory, isn't it, really, when you think what Admiral brought in for England?
It is. I mean, I had a couple of really interesting chats on Facebook the other day about this, and I was accused of telling people what to like, when in fact it's utter nonsense. I mean, I love the debate. I mean, if we all agreed, wouldn't it be awful? But yeah, the Admiral thing, I don't get the love for the Admiral shirts. I think it comes from a nostalgia, because it's a totally misleading identity for England. Someone pointed out quite recently, I think it was Shaky actually, said that, of course, at the time, St George's Cross really wasn't established. It wasn't. It was the Union Jack. It was all about the Union Jack at the time. So maybe it made sense. But you're quite right. This is actually mild. It really isn't it, when you compare it to the Admiral shirt in terms of controversy.
Yeah. So I think if you look at the 82 shirt, I think it's on a par with the one that England wore in España 82 World Cup. So. With the bars across the shoulders, blue and the red. Now, that one came about, and that one was accepted, I think, because the previous one had brought trim in, and it was a lot of trim, but it was done in a slightly more palatable way, because it was like a stripe on the shoulders. So we'd seen stripe on the shoulders and sleeve before, and it was on the cuffs, so a little bit trim on the cuffs wasn't too much of a big deal. It was a lot of colour, and also the Union Jack was synonymous with England at the time, and up to say Italia 90 it was. So the 82 one would have been hugely controversial if it had come directly after a plain white kit, I think. So
yes, definitely.
It was two steps got us there, so it was accepted. Italia 90 was the last tournament, I think, maybe Euro 92, when Union Jacks were like a big deal for England fans, and since then it's been the St George's Cross. This is very, very different to have a raglan sleeve and a contrast raglan sleeve.
That's the key, yeah.
I don't know. The other thing, obviously, is the red socks.
Well, before we slip right down to the socks, we must just mention as well, this whole technology, this new weave, is it the AeroSwift fabric they're using? It's actually the first time the shorts and the shirt are made from the same fabric, apparently. So there's a uniformity there. And I know that I think, you know, we've talked before about groundbreaking designs when they're trying to make all-in-ones kind of kits, if you like. Maybe this is a slight move towards that, because unbelievably, the shorts are the same fabric, which is, I find that quite interesting. People might not, but...
I did read this. We've got to remember something, that we are talking about the authentic kits that have been launched. Nothing's on sale yet, I don't think. Went to Kitbag earlier to check what they've got on sale, and they don't even mention that there is a New England kit. So they're not even doing pre-sale. So we have to wait and see what the replica version or the fans version actually looks like. For example, I don't think... I could barely even see that there is a crest on the England shirt. It looks very nice, but there's no substance to it.
And on the crest, what do you mean? On the...
So the England Three Lions crest on the shirt doesn't seem to have any depth on the launch pictures I've seen. So the players, it's a heat transfer of nothing. Or have you seen something different? Is it?
Do you mean the main crest on the front of the shirt?
Yeah, it seems almost, it's not sublimated, but it looks like it could be sublimated. It doesn't seem to be any three-dimensional depth to it. Now, the supporter shirt is not going to have that.
Ah, I take your point. Yeah, I see where you're going now.
We do need to wait and see. We don't, because we're doing the podcast now, so forget that idea. But there is an element to seeing what is actually released for the public to buy, which maybe that is more important, and the cut will be different. Because...
Well, of course, and the other thing as well that's come out, there's been the old price issue, because, you know, the Daily Mail, that ever the champions of overpriced replica shirt controversies, have come out, you know, and said that I think if you buy the kind of player standard one, it's 90 quid. Mm. They ignore the fact that the standard replica will probably be about 40 quid cheaper than that, but they're pushing that. So clearly there's going to be different levels of accuracy, I guess.
Oh, it's such bullshit. I can't even I can't even stand those articles.
It's tired, isn't it?
What
it's
are you
really
going to spend your money on? Look at anyone who subscribes to the Daily Mail. How much money are they wasting?
So, exactly. But I think going back, obviously we've got two things to consider. One is the construction, the technology, the fabric, which I'm guessing most football kit fans and probably most football fans aren't that interested in. And of course, as you said, and you were, before I so rudely sidetracked you, looking at the socks and why they're red and how that fits in with it all. Because is it a risky strategy? Is it a two fingers to the fans strategy? I don't know.
It's this other thing of doing both. It's the Scotland kit with, they've got raglan sleeves. They've got white raglan sleeves. Oh, but we've also got tartan on it. Well, why do you need tartan as well? So if you're going to do the sky blue sleeves thing, why have you also got red socks? You don't need two points of interest like that, I don't think.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I think we probably bored people stupid on our last time I was a guest with you, and we talked about the contrasting socks and how I quite like them. I like the perverse nature of them. Mm. And even now, looking at this England kit in its full kind of like invisible man, inflated shirt look that Nike still seem to be going with, although it doesn't show the shirt off to its best qualities at all. But it looks kind of magnificent in a way, because it does look very futuristic. It looks really ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Whether that is the colour combination combined with the fit, I don't know. But from a traditional point of view, oh crikey, it must really be winding England fans, and I'm saying this as a Scottish supporter, it must be really winding England fans up that there's such a clash there that it doesn't seem to work as a uniform outfit.
Yeah. So something I one of the marketing terms they're using is superhero. So it's
okay, I get that.
And you do look at the kit now, and it looks a little bit like in 1990, like an artist's mock-up of what kits will look like in the 2010s. This is what they're going to look like, and they're going to be full of technology, and they're going to be tight. They're going to be so tight. So say in the early 90s, if you suggested that a kit would be this tight, it would have looked out of this world, I would have thought.
Well, I often bore people with this story. I don't know if you remember that back in the early 90s, there was a massive thing for cycling shorts that players were wearing underneath their regular shorts. And I stood up one night in the pub and confidently predicted that in 10 years, all kits wouldn't have shorts. They'd all be wearing cycling shorts.
Yeah.
Maybe I was 20 years out, but from what Jason Lee was saying, maybe that is the way it's going to go. I don't know.
Well, that has been done on Design Football several times. So there was one designer who did all his kits like that with tight shorts. But the principle is the same. The idea, they're slimmer cut now than they have been before. If you look at, say, 5 years ago, they were incredibly long, incredibly baggy, which is completely pointless. There's
absolutely
long, though,
no aren't
need.
They're still... So what do you think? Because I think you touched on this kind of sock colour anomaly last time we spoke. Why do you think they've gone? Because I know they've referenced the England Brazil 1984 game. where John, I think it's a game where John Barnes scored that classic goal. They've referenced that with this shirt design and their marketing, and I think, I don't know why they did that, because that was a mismatch of different kits. That wasn't, it didn't look good. It was just what they had to wear to avoid a clash. But they're using that as their point of reference. We're influenced by this.
I don't have a problem with either of those things. I actually, on two counts, I don't have a problem with that. I don't mind the look. I think the look is good. Maybe because it jars a little bit, but I sometimes like things that jar. I also don't have a problem with the reasons behind it. So if things happen, it maybe view it as serendipity or something. I don't know. The circumstances have dictated something, but that doesn't make it bad that that's the case. So something that I've noticed before, and I'll bring this up again because I think it's hilarious, but Arsenal used to play against Southampton in the 90s, early 90s, and there was like a kit clash. So they used to wear their 88 to 91 away shirt, which is the famous Anfield shirt, but they used to wear it with the home shorts. And in 88 to 90, those shorts, the two seasons they did this, and then they did it in the next season with the other home shorts. But with these home shorts, they were white shorts with big blue panels down the side. So that's incredibly right. Mismatching, and everyone said it looked ugly and terrible. But then I'm pretty sure if it's on flashed up on your screen, I've got this right. If it hasn't flashed up on your screen, I'm talking rubbish. It's Tottenham actually released a kit in those colours in a...
Oh, they did.
A yellow shirt with blue sleeves and white shorts with big blue panels down the side. An Adidas kit like that, which I don't know whether it was...
Didn't they wear that for the League Cup final? Wasn't that the special one they did for that game?
No, I think it's the following season. So it's very similar to that one, but I think it's an actual kit, because that was like a one-off kit that they wore in the final. But I think this one is maybe the following season or not, or something like that. Or season... I think it's the following season that they had it, or maybe the season before. I can't really remember.
Yeah, it was 99-2000. That's the one. Yeah.
I should just go and pick up your book. It'll be in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. it is interesting. But you see, that's really wound up the fans as well. And I can't help but look at it and think, okay, couldn't you have just put in a little sliver of red? Because, I mean, coming from a design and colour point of view, I'd like to have seen a sliver of red somewhere in that shirt and shorts, just to balance that out.
Yeah.
Although I did read somewhere, and I've not been able to find it again, there is an implication by Nike that blue stripe that runs down the side of the shirt and the shorts has a kind of reddish tinge to it, or has some kind of red magic going on with it. Have you read that as well?
Okay, so if this is the case, then this is when the movement comes in. So when you're moving and you're running, it stretches that stripe and you can see flashes of red. That's quite good, if that's the case. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, something along those lines. And I thought, okay, right, that's interesting.
Okay, so the kit is complete when the player is in full flow then. So that's a nice idea.
That's a lovely way of putting it, but yeah, that's kind of it. But it's what I have a problem with, from a design point of view, I think it's cracking. I think it looks great, and I stick my neck out and still say that. My problem with it is it too far away from what England fans want? And shouldn't you be giving them what the fans want? And really... I mean, Nike got a lot of stick for their first England kit because everyone said the blue was too dark, which was, I don't know, a bit fussy, but maybe there was an element of truth in it. Mm. But really, England haven't played in their traditional colours that people want to see them in for years now. And it's always been this white short business going on.
Yeah.
And it's even more perverse now that they're saying, well, do you know what? We're not even going to do the navy shorts. But to make matters even worse, we're going to give them red socks. It's almost like deliberately winding people up. And that's what I don't get.
Yeah. The first Nike kit, did that not have navy shorts? It had the navy round neck collar, didn't it?
That's right, navy shorts, but they were really dark. And, of course, everyone then said, well, it looks like Germany. I thought a bit silly, but...
What
do you think of the away kit, though, Jam? That works, I'd imagine, for the traditionalists, that works well.
Yeah. Firstly, the just on the socks, the last thing I'll say about that is I didn't necessarily want the colour to tie in, but I wanted something England-specific to tie in. So whether it was like a lion symbol or the three lions or something on the sock that referred that tied it into the kit, so you could say it was the same, rather than, let's say, a pair of teamwear socks that they'd had to pick up through necessity, like against Brazil, let's say, that they'd, say, gone to a sports shop and picked up because they needed some, or they went to Nike and said, we need some red socks specifically for this game because something's gone wrong with a kit clash. That's, it could slip into that. If there was something very specific to the England or the FA or something that could tie in with the rest of the kit, then I would have been happy that the colour didn't tie in necessarily. But that's a separate thing. The away kit is... it's the same. It's the same template as all these other Nike kits, but it's got like it's a tonal thing. So there's a darker stripes, aren't they? Almost a burgundy. Darker sleeves, raglan sleeves, right. Like a burgundy, and then a bright red front. I'm okay with it. Blue socks, is that right?
That's right. Royal blue socks.
Yeah. I'm underwhelmed by that one. I think the big impact has happened with the home kit, so that everything's been focused on that. This is a rare thing as well. It's something that Umbro didn't used to do, is release the two kits at the same time.
Wow, I mean, this is, again, it kind of leads me on to the other issue. They've released all their kits at this time, which is, it really is saying, this is standard uniform. Nothing fancy, they're all the same, they're all going out at the same time. It is quite a change, isn't it?
But that, again, fits in with this idea of the evolution of the technology, because you're saying, how dare we allow some of our teams that we have a contract with to wear outdated or redundant technology, where now we know that this is how you do it. This is how you've got to wick the sweat, and this is how you've got to make it lighter and breathable, and the movement thing, because other teams could be within their rights to say, well, hold on, they've got that. If we play against England, we're the USA, if we play against England, they're going to have an unfair disadvantage. Well, why should they have we're going to have a disadvantage. Yeah. Why should they have an advantage over us? Because they've got a new kit where we're actually with the same supplier. So what's the point of having
sweat won't wick as quick as their sweat. And that's a massive thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it, you know?
Is it? Well, but that has to be the marketing line, doesn't it? We're releasing all these at the same time.
Yeah, and of course, either that's true or it's PRBS, but if it's true, then it really is what you've said, and I think you've put it brilliantly, is to say that it really is technology that's driving this. And they're almost saying, look, you know, this kit is so good, it's so special, it's not even available in another form, it's only this design, and we'll just colour it up according. You know, it's really putting the emphasis on technology and saying, this is the best shirt we can produce, the best kit we can produce. Therefore, as you say, level playing field, it all needs to be the same.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. I think that's exactly it.
I assume that would have to be the way. Obviously, tournaments are coming up, so you do have Euro. It is best to release kits before a tournament, so that's logical. So you have Euro 2016 for England, and you have the Copa America Centenario in America. So all of the American nations are going to play in this.
Okay.
It's the centenary of the Copa America, which is quite surprising, really, that's been going on since the 1910s, a cross-continental tournament like that.
But looking at the other teams as well, though, Jamie, if we look at that Poland kit, switch those red shorts to navy shorts, there's the England kit that people want, surely.
I was looking at this Poland kit and I thought, Nigel Farage and Peter Bone, your idea that you don't want... there is an idea there that you have a problem with there being so many Polish people in this country. Well, if it means that we don't get to see that shirt on the street very much because there's not as many Poles in England anymore, that would be a big problem for me, because that is a great shirt.
It's, I mean, for those that haven't seen it, it is pure white. The trim on the top is red. The stripes down the side are red. Everything else is white about it. I mean, I think with a little bit of, you know, the trim on the collar, on the neck, that could be blue possibly. And there you go. You've got your England kit there.
John, you've actually...
You're pleased, yeah.
You've missed out the most important element. And it is a very light element, but there's like a swirly thing down the bottom. Did you not notice it?
I did, because of course the England one, they've got this sort of they've got this superhero Iron Man style mesh pattern, haven't they, across the chest? I think Portugal have got it as well. But the Poland one, you're right, it's got a different mesh kind of pattern going on.
Well, is that a mesh down the bottom then, or is it? I thought it was like a supplemented print, but is that a mesh as well?
I'm presuming it's a weave. I mean, the texture on the England shirt is created by a different weave with, you know, the breathable fabric and everything else. Because I think they talk about this new AeroSwift, if that's the right name again, technology, being so thin but still having strength and structure and sort of of fabric integrity. And I'm thinking they're just playing with the gradient, the meshes, if you like, as part of the actual construction. I don't think that's a sublimated print. You might be right.
Oh no, I'd imagine you're right. Generally speaking, that tends to be the way. This thing with the meshes and the technology here, it is quite, whether you believe it or not, it's quite entertaining that this is the new way of going about it. So you have a loose mesh and you have a tight mesh and you have they call it knits and they call it weaves and all these different things. When a couple of years ago, or even probably the last kits, the big thing they were talking about was laser cut holes, ventilation holes. Now that's something they've got rid of. So we've essentially gone from how do you keep players cool, we just tear a hole in the shirt, and now we're saying actually we'll sew the shirt in a way that, so that is a big advancement, but it's, you only notice it now that they've done something which actually does take a little bit of effort. So before, it was, in effect, it was just marketing, because they were going, oh, look at this laser cut holes, so we've got them the right size, and just cutting holes in it. you're dressing it up, but you are just cutting holes in the shirt in order to let the sweat out, or the player's skin to breathe, or whatever it means.
Yeah.
And that would be a basic thing. That would be a basic approach to it, I would have thought.
Well, it is, and it is. But again, you know, people always fling the lazy designer tag that sort of slagging off comes out. And in many respects, that's a lazy criticism, because, you know, the amount of work that's clearly gone into the design of the construction of the shirt, it's not lazy, of course it's not, but what people are criticising is, I guess, the choices of colours and the fact that they're all the same. And that becomes the easy way to say, oh, they're just being lazy. Let's not bother doing a different design. But there's got to be reasons behind it.
You could trust it a lot more now when they say, we're doing this thing, we're doing it for every kit across the board, and we're doing it at the same time. That will instill a little bit more confidence. Because you go, oh, okay. So you're practicing what you're preaching there, because everyone's got it.
That's right.
So
that's
right. You do buy that a little bit more. Just to talk about some of the other kits, France and USA would probably be the interesting ones for me, which I'll get into in just a second. So they've got alternate sleeved. France away and USA away. Yeah, USA away is black with one red sleeve and one blue sleeve. The France away is white with one red sleeve and one blue sleeve, which again would annoy you a little bit if you're a fan of both of those countries that have such similar design features there, wouldn't it?
It would do. I mean, the French one's always really difficult, because Nike haven't, in my view, haven't gone too far wrong with French shirts in the past. And it's very difficult to keep improving on them or trying to improve on them. But the contrasting sleeves, I don't know, not sure about that.
I obviously, as these kits were launched, one more I want to talk about is the Turkey one, which has like a bizarre mesh to it. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Turkey ones were really good, actually. Possibly the strongest of them, because they were the most groundbreaking in terms of colour. Because obviously people got to remember that when they design it, it's like a team, isn't it? One designer focuses on fabric, the other designer focuses on colour and graphics and, you know, size of badge and everything else. So I think they've really gone to town with the Turkey ones. And actually, even the Croatia away works very well as well. I like that one, the two-tone blue.
Yeah, that's one I've heard a lot of people talking up. Regarding the Turkey one, that mesh thing, it's something that I've seen. It looks like the fly wire, which is something that that Nike did in boots and trainers and stuff for a few years, which is like loads of little wires, which is part of the construction, and then they stretch, and it's all tied into the same thing. But they've been doing it for about 8 or 9 years, I think. Okay. So very thin, it looks like fishing wire across the whole garment, whatever it is. But I don't think they ever did football kits with it. But that looks like it could be. It's not, but it has that effect. The other thing is, it reminds me of, there's a scene in the film Resident Evil where there's a laser security system, and so they break into a building which has this laser security system, and it's a laser that goes down a corridor, and you need to duck out the way or it'll sort of cut you in half. And it's particularly gruesome, but they're sort of getting to grips with it, and the last person's left in there, and he thinks, all right, I'm jumping over it when it's low and I'm ducking under it when it's high, and then it comes towards him and turns into a big mesh grid, and things don't work out too well for him then.
And that reminds you of that?
It reminds me of that, yeah. But there's an insight into my mind there as well. But you could check that out on YouTube, and I found it on YouTube the other day, but tread very, very carefully, because it's unpleasant. It's really, really unpleasant.
The turkey one, has that come from I seem to remember reading something. It does come from some kind of Turkish culture, Turkish tradition. Is that right? Is there something? There's a specific reason for that, I think.
Yeah, they have these laser security systems in all their government buildings. I don't know. I haven't heard that, but if you go to the Nike website, they'll have some stuff about that, I would have thought.
But if that is the case, then really, when you look at these kits, it is that would arguably be the last knockings of the kind of conceptual kit design, wouldn't it? Because none of the others, I don't know if Nike have come out and said why there's pale blue or ice blue, whatever they're calling it, on the England shirt. It seems like has the conceptual design finally gone out the window now? Has that died to death? I don't know.
There's two things. There was recently a Daily Mirror article which listed the, in order, the last 39 England kits, so home away third. And what it put as the spoiler alert, just turn the volume down now if you don't want to know and you want to go to that article and find out what they say is the best. The best one, which is such I would describe as a hipster dick move, is they picked as the best kit the 1990 third shirt, which is which is Dennis Wise scored against Turkey, funnily enough, with a handball, and that was the only match it was ever worn in. And the picture they used for it was, I think it's Bernard Sumner wearing it in the World in Motion video for New Order.
Yeah.
Now, to say that is the best, it is nice, it's a great shirt, and I do like it, but to call it the best England shirt, I mean, essentially you're calling it the best England shirt ever.
Do you know, I really wish some of these newspapers would come to somebody who knows stuff. There's plenty of people out there who know so much about kits. Come work with someone and figure it out between you. But it's these people sitting there who, I don't know. It is a daft choice. I gave up halfway through the article. There was some interesting bits in it, but it seemed to be overwhelmingly negative for most of them. I kind of lost a bit of faith, so I didn't get that far.
In fairness to them, they did actually feature the 50 greatest football shirts ever that we did, didn't they? I think they lifted it and they did it in a nice way. They linked and gave proper credit and stuff, so they're not that bad. Mirror Football.
Daily Mirror.
Yeah, sorry about that. The only clubs team specific things I've noticed is, if you pop the cuffs on the England shirt, one of the cuffs says 3 and the other cuff says Lions, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't. I can imagine fans. Now, we don't want to have too much of a stereotypical idea of what an England fan is, but an England fan showing that to his mates. I mean, he's drunk anyway, and he's watching England beating the foreigners or losing to the foreigners one way or another, and he pops his cuffs and this one says 3. What do you think of that?
He pops his cuffs. I love that phrase.
Pops his cuffs.
I didn't realize that you had to pop them, as you say. I thought that was already there. So you actually have to fold them up, right? Okay.
Oh yeah, no, I think you need to fold them up to see those details. Yeah, they wouldn't. Right. They wouldn't just have that exposed. No, no, no. You have to. You have to work for the nickname, club nickname. No, it seems random. I would have preferred something. It's very like does what it says on the tin. Have a picture of a lion or something, or I don't know, rose maybe or something there. That would have been nice. But to say, to have the words three and lions.
But what's in, I just think though, Jay, with this one, I think if they'd acknowledged a bit more of England tradition, and I find myself again, I'm at odds with it because I love the way the shirt looks. But I can't help thinking you've got to please the fans. They want to see their team. They want to see their team looking like their team. And I just can't help but think, should they have acknowledged a little bit more of tradition there? I don't know. It's an odd one.
I'll go back to my original point. You can do one or the other. There's no need to do both. So if you want to change things, then change one thing, but don't do both. That's where the artistic license. That is, otherwise you're unlicensed. Anyway, it's. we wait to see what the replica versions look like. And the other thing is, when Umbro did this, and this is where it gets interesting for me, when Umbro did this in 2010 with the England away kit, they said, okay, you don't need a base layer anymore. You wear the long sleeves, and that's like wearing a base layer. You are. They really, really did exactly what Nike are doing now. And all the players just went, well, I like wearing a base layer. So they wore the short sleeve version with a base layer. So Wayne Rooney, who was in the first game, they wore it against Egypt. Wayne Rooney, who was like the main man, I don't know if he was wearing Nike. Oh, he was wearing Nike boots at the time, but Nike and Umbro were virtually synonymous. So all the launches were for Nike kits and Umbro kits together for the 2010 World Cup. And so in the first game, Rooney insisted on wearing a base layer with a short sleeve shirt. Which is terrible for marketing, really. So the players will do what they want. So despite the fact that no base layers have actually been revealed as yet, as far as I've seen, although there's a weird jacket thing. That's another thing.
Okay.
There's a weird tight jacket, like tracksuit top, which every country has got. And there's a USA one, which seems to be in exactly the same colours as the England away shirt. So again, it slips into this thing that this is just a template.
Yeah.
And it is the same design. So it looks like a long sleeve version of the shirt, but it's got a zip and pockets.
Don't get me started on mismatching tracksuits. That's another topic. I'm just looking, actually, Jay, on the... I've blown up one of the pictures of the England, of the new one, the home one. It's still got dry fit on the shirt. I wouldn't have thought it would be a dry fit shirt, though, would it? If what we've said's true.
Oh, I don't know about Nike, but with Adidas, there's plenty of different... Yeah, I have read that these are still dry fit. With Adidas, they put various labels on it, but it will include other technologies as well. So they put the most prominent or the most marketable, because this vapor thing maybe isn't recognisable, but dry fit still means something to people. So
unless the dry fit is a replica and the vapor one's going to be the player issue. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, like Climacool shirts and Adi Zero shirts for Adidas, maybe.
But I think we need to sort of wait and see how this all settles down and see what the reaction is later. Because at the moment, it's pretty damning. But I suspect people might change their minds. See it in action. I think it's going to look all right.
Okay. Now, I do need to get my base layer bit in. So the players will end up wearing base layers, but what are the base layers going to look like? There are several teams, USA and USA and France, I think, are the only teams who have alternate sleeved shirts. If they're wearing base layers with them, then the base layers should be alternate sleeved. So I was looking forward to this, waiting for the launches. It hasn't happened. I feel like a little bit of an idiot because I was thinking I was going to see alternate sleeve base layers for the first time. But I still am not sure. And now my thinking is, because I have seen the new base layer range, I think what's going to happen is certain players will wear base layers, and the base layer will be in the base colour. So for the France away shirt, it will be in white. And for the USA shirt, it will be black. And it will have the start of the, as the base layer comes out of the short sleeve shirt, there will be a little bit of colour, the same colour as the sleeve, and then that will gradually fade out by the elbow. That's what I'm expecting. Okay. That is my prediction now. I've changed my prediction. So let's see whether that happens. And that is all we need to say on the subject. We don't need to talk about base layers any more than that. I am disappointed.
Fantastic.
I'm disappointed, but I have also made a prediction. So let's see how wrong
let's
I am this time.
Let's see what happens. Yeah,
okay.
Good.
The other thing, Croatia socks. Have you seen those?
No. What are they like?
Checkerboard socks. So the red and white checkerboard effect is put on the socks as well.
Okay.
Of the shirt. The shirt, I like the away. The home, I like because it references the France 98 shirt, which is quite famous with the flowing flag. So the flag flapping in the wind kind of thing. So it's got that effect. And the socks are checkerboard. The socks are ridiculous,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah. I see them now. Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Oh, sorry. I need to mention something else about base layers. The athletics people, so for the Rio Olympics, let's say, track and field, they have base layers. They have like a short sleeve shirt, which is the Vapor, Nike Vapor thing. And they also have like a sleeve, a base layer sleeve, like the shooting sleeve that NBA players have. So so maybe the base layer is dead, but if you want to wick your arms, then you can wear a sleeve. So we'll see if football has those as well.
I'm still not convinced about the base layer qualities of this shirt. I think that's still an issue there. But we'll see, Jay.
We'll see on that. So I'm going to stop talking about base layers now. I promise this time.
If I can just say really quickly as well, if anyone looks on the Nike website, they've got some really, really massive high-res images of the kits on there. And it's not so much on the England one, but if you look at the Croatia one, for example, you'll see how those little slivers of additional colour are in those stripes. So that's when, as we said before, in movement, that's when we're going to see these flashes of red, apparently. So that might be... Yeah, on the England shirt. So that's going to be a really interest to see if they pull that off, because that might fall a bit flat, but it might look stunning. We'll see.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to break my promise straight away. Have you seen the Afghanistan kits?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
I think they're brilliant. I mean, I really, really rate Hummel anyway. I think they're one of the real sleeping giants of sportswear. But I think that does the trick. It's really looking at what cultures, looking at the way people want to wear the sport, the apparel, looking at the culture of the country, the religion, everything else going into it. They've considered it all and they've adjusted things accordingly. And that's what I think, kit designers should be doing. So it's proper, it's official, it's not being customised by the players, if you know what I mean. So I think it's a really good thing.
Sorry, just to let people know, if you haven't seen the Afghanistan kits, the outer shirt is very contoured, and it has references to Afghan culture, I would presume. I haven't looked into it, but I love the actual effect of the shirt, that they've managed to make it 3D on the shirt, so it's like an embossed effect. Very, very clever, and it's a nice design. So the shirt is great. But the female players, and you see this a lot, I think Iranian players are the same. They need to wear a hijab for cultural reasons, for religious reasons. So they need to be basically covered. The hair needs to be covered, and so on. And their skin needs to be covered virtually in its entirety. So arms being bare is not okay, I don't think, either. So they've been, Hummel have made them like a base layer hijab, which is well, it's a first, really. And I think it's just to echo what you've said there, John, that it's great to find some sort of compromise that works out, and here's a problem, and here's how we solve it. So
that's right, and
good for them on that.
And really making sure that the shirt does all that it needs to do, because it's got to work for the players, but it's also got to work for the fans as well. I realise that kind of contradicts what I've said before in a way, but it's kind of got to do both, hasn't it? And I think when they do something like this, it's really important that they're taking these things on board.
I mean, both works for the fan, because the fan looks at the manufacturer and says, okay, well they've actually met the needs of the country and the culture, and so there's an effort level in there that has to be commended as well. So obviously for the retail version, it's not really relevant, but people like the shirt because it's a good shirt, and also for the players, they've done what's required there. So yeah,
and there's a little bit the way Hummel have approached this, there's a little bit of empathy and understanding, isn't there? And I was going to do a dreadful pun about humility and Hummel there, but luckily I didn't. But I think with Nike, I wouldn't say the word arrogance, that's maybe a bit strong, but it's in stark contrast to these Hummel shirts for Afghanistan, isn't it, I think?
That argument can be made, but it's difficult.
But they're going to say, and rightly so, they're the designers, so... You know, I'm a designer myself, and you desperately want your clients to trust you, that you know what you're doing. But of course, as soon as they lose faith in you, then that relationship's on rocky grounds. And that's what concerned me, reading these comments. And of course, you're only looking at the people that shout the loudest. Is that trust in that supplier, is that wavering?
But I don't worry about that. I don't feel any sympathy at all, because if they've said no, we are going to do this because we know this is better, and then the public says, well, we don't like it, we're not going to buy it, then you can't have sympathy for that, really, can you? Because they haven't gone to the market and said, what do these people want, and they haven't respected that they know a little bit more about their own football team and their own country, maybe. So if it backfires, then you either say it serves you right, or you say fair play to you for doing the right thing anyway, even though it's going to backfire. Mm. So it's maybe a Jeremy Corbyn thing or something, to say, well, this isn't going to win you votes, you're never going to get into power, but at least you can eventually look back and say, and I was going to do the right thing for the country. The country didn't want it.
Yeah, it's the integrity again, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, it's an interesting... Do you know what? It leaves me in turmoil. It just makes me there's so many talking points surrounding it, far, far above whether they've got sky blue sleeves or not.
Yeah, well, it's that we're talking about it, and that's that's what it's always all about. It's far more important that we talk about things than
and bottle them up.
Yeah, it's not got lost in the noise anyway. So we're aware that there's a New England kit, that's for sure.
Yeah, and maybe that's the whole point. Who knows?
Maybe it is. We've said that before, that a million people knowing that there's a new kit, your conversion rate doesn't need to be high. If you've made it that many people know that it exists, or you can make a fantastic kit that the marketing doesn't get it noticed. So yeah, it's all about the cash in the end. Okay, so that's been fantastic. I think we've covered everything that I wanted to cover. But that's, yeah, the England kit has been launched. We'll see when it's released, and we'll probably discuss the release version in a future podcast. But for now, that's the England kit reviewed. Where are our review copies? Why aren't we sent these shirts anymore, John? Are you sent one?
No, I used to get them. I used to get them from Umbro and even a few sports shops I was doing reviews for as well at one point, but it all seemed to have dried up a little bit. So I'd like to see one in the flesh if anyone's listening.
Yeah.
And wants to send me one. Oh, and Jay, of course.
They should really. It's my podcast. They should really be sending
me. Oh, yeah. Them. Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
I'd much rather literally tear it apart than just figuratively.
No, but I think it's certainly given me an insight talking to you about it. It's made me think of certain things differently. And maybe it has with others as well. I don't know. There's just plenty to debate there, but it's not all bad. I think, you know, let's just look and see how it goes.
Okay. We're open to having our minds changed by it. Again, as we said at the beginning, wait till we see the players wearing it and then we'll make an informed judgment. And then you don't have to listen to this podcast. But too late now. Okay, a couple of things I wanted to talk about. There is a new podcast called Attic Life. If you remember the Football Attic podcast, this podcast wouldn't exist if there hadn't been a Football Attic podcast. That's why this podcast exists. And possibly this podcast wouldn't exist if the Football Attic podcast hadn't actually stopped, because there was a gap there that needed to be filled for me. So that's why we set this one up. One of the many reasons. We've both appeared on the Football Attic podcast in the past. That has ceased to be. The Football Attic website is still available and people should visit that. But they're not updated it with new blog articles, unfortunately. But they have set up a new podcast called Attic Life. Have you listened to this yet, John?
I haven't, but it's on my download list of things to do, because I think it will be a great listen, knowing Rich and Chris, you know, as well as, I'm not saying we know them really, really well, but as well as we do, I'm sure it'll be a brilliant listen.
Yeah, I've listened to it. It is a brilliant listen. I'm not sure whether you should be in a bad mood so it doesn't matter when you listen to this podcast, or be in a good mood so you can handle your mood being lowered a little bit by the podcast. It's not cheery. Let's put it that way. Their memories are not of incredibly pleasant things.
God, but... you know, for a moment there, I thought you were talking specifically to me, as if, John, don't be in a bad mood. I thought, oh, God, did they really slate me or something?
No. Good. I don't think you're mentioned. You may be referred to...
I thought they were my friends. I didn't want them to say anything bad.
No, they don't say anything bad about you. I think they talk about me quite a lot, but they don't actually mention me. But I think everyone's talking about me all the time.
That's right. Yeah, when we talk about other people, it's just pseudonyms. It's really you we're talking about.
That my solipsism suggests to me that everything is about me one way or another. Anyway, so listen to the Attic Life podcast. You should check that one out. It's not nothing to do with football, really, but everyone should listen to that. Visit John's website as well, truecolorsfootballkits.com. Is that right, John?
It is, yeah. Hopefully there's some stuff on there you'll find interesting. It's not been updated for a while, but I've got a few ideas in mind, so maybe there'll be a bit of a rethink soon. But there's hopefully, if you're into kits, I hope there's a few things there that you'll like.
If you haven't already read everything on the website, the fact that it hasn't been updated recently is not an excuse not to visit that website, because it's fantastic. There's galleries and very interesting articles. Everything on there is brilliant. If you have 5,000 years spare, then you can read all the comments, because don't the comments go over 1,000 comments on each article?
Well, there's one, isn't there, in particular? I'm kind of almost embarrassed to talk about it. But yeah, it's brilliant. It goes on for ages. And Dennis was saying to me about doing a forum. I think he even volunteered to manage it for me at one point. And of course, when it got to over 1,000 comments, I did think to myself, maybe he was right. But there you go.
Yeah, it would be good. Off topic, I think we would class 900 of those 1,000 comments as on each of those articles. So John's available on Twitter as well, True Colours Kits on Twitter.
That's it, yep.
And True Colours Football Kits, there is a Facebook page. Probably hasn't been updated. recently either. Is that right, John, or has it?
No, but it's I've got to focus on a little bit more on my 9-to-5 than I used to. Mm. So it's but I've still got. I was talking to somebody this week about a few ideas, so hopefully there'll be some new stuff on this soon.
Yeah. So go over there and like that as well. We are on wearedesignfootball.com. The website has a couple of competitions at the minute: a Crest competition and the Atlanta United MLS team football kit competition. That's really good. Some brilliant entries there. Enter that and look at the other entries because they're great. If you want to contact Design Football, it's Design Football on Twitter, designfootball.com on Facebook. I'm J29ers as well. If you want to talk to me, that would be great. You can let me know what you think of the podcast or what you think of me. Be as abusive as you like. I don't care. And this has been fantastic. Thank you so much again, John. We've talked for a long time.
Real pleasure, Jane.
But a pleasure talking to you always, and massively insightful, and you know everything, so it's great.
Well, they're very kind, but I thank you for having me on. That's really, it's always enjoy talking to you and really getting to the kind of getting under the skin of these shirts a bit as well.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll speak to you again soon then. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon. Bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.